Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Nance Warnes of the. This is Blog Talk Radio, and I skipped a week last week, and I hope you guys aren't too upset with me. I thought I'd get a recording done a little bit later in the week for you guys, and you know what? It's the season. You guys are all busy. I'm busy. Lots of stuff going on. Good stuff. Good stuff. So I'm a little bit behind, but we're here on Wednesday night, my regular time slot, and I'm coming to you from snowy Kansas City, and the players are in. We have practice tonight, by the way. So the players are here, and they are practicing indoors today because we have not been outside much at all. We've had some terrible weather here in the Midwest, and so it's going to really damper our preparations, I'm afraid. We have our first game at the end of March, and I know most of you guys are starting about then or maybe the first week in April. And boy, with the tough winter that we're having, I hope you guys' preparations are going well. I'd love to be outside. You get so much more done, but we can get a lot done inside. In fact, tonight we are doing Insanity, so I was glad to be able to get away from that and do the show tonight. And so I'm going to use the topics that I had teed up on this on the Dion's women's football Ning board, and these are just the same topics I had promised you last time, and we'll kind of hit those, and I got a couple of emails that we'll comment on, and as always, I would like you to give me some feedback, things that you want to hear about and you want to or interject about. You can email those to nwernes@caseystormfootball.com, and I'll bring those into the show. I am not online right now, even though this is a live show, because the computer is back at home, and like I said, I'm actually at practice now, so if you chat at me, I will not get that, but this is an attended call tonight, and so Nancy, who is helping me tonight, back at home base, back in California, she can text me if you have something to come to comment on. Otherwise, you can just email me at nwernes@caseystormfootball.com, and we'll get those comments brought into the next show next Wednesday. So tonight, what do we want to talk about? I'm trying to kind of kill this topic, the governing body. I thought I had killed it last time, and I got another email on it, so I just wanted to make sure, or kind of close the loop. There was an offhanded comment that I made a couple months ago, probably, about a governing body, and Randall Fields had written to me and said, hey, we're working on that. We've been working on it for about 2 months. And so I said, well, we'd like to come onto the show and talk about it. And he said yes, but he would do that after the holidays. I have reached out to him again, and he hasn't been able to join and or provide much more detail. And so I don't know what's going on with that. And we, like I said, we haven't gotten any more feedback. I did reach out to both the WFA and the IWFL. They are not aware of or have been brought into any conversations, and this old information, so maybe they have by now. So I don't know what's going on with that, if anything. But, you know, I would say direct those comments and questions to Randall, and if he does want to come onto the show later or any, you know, at any point, he can do that. We don't have any more information on that. The second thing I want to talk about tonight was the 2011 IWFL schedule that's out there. That generated some interest on the chat board. And I think Coach Mack had some good points there. And if you hadn't read them, I thought I might highlight them tonight and give you my perspective on some things. They're obviously, they have a lot of bye weeks. They've stretched the season out about 12 weeks, but they have the 8 games. So lots of bye weeks if you want to try to get in there and schedule with an IWFL team. Remember, all the leagues now, at least in theory, at least in maybe not in practice, but at least in theory, will allow you to schedule out-of-league games. And especially the IWFL and the WSFL both have a lot of bye weeks. So that's definitely a good possibility. if you want to do some cross league games, which I think are very, very valuable this year particularly. If you look at the schedules now that they're kind of all out, and I've been talking about this for some time. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but obviously the point is that by being in a league, you kind of sub-optimize the best experience for the players because you're kind of locked into a certain number of games with certain teams that you really can't dictate. And those may or may not be the best teams to play based on your team and you know, where it fits in the in a ranking system, if you will. So so now we're really kind of getting to see that now where the rubber meets the road, and we're kind of looking at some of those teams, and, you know, there's going to be some good matchups and there's going to be some not so good matchups. And I think the league, they schedule, and this is where I want to make the point about the IWFL schedule, and I think it was Coach Mack that was pretty clear, is that the IWFL has tiers. They advertise tiers. But that has really nothing to do with schedule. You know, you schedule by distance and expense. And I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily. The league will schedule you close to teams around you, and they're not going to optimize your player experience. They're just trying to get you 8 games or less. I think one of the leagues, the teams have less. But in general, whatever number of games that they have for you, they're going to schedule those convenient for as many people as they can. And I know that sometimes it doesn't make sense how they do that, and you may end up traveling further than you think you should. All those are just one-off discussions to be had, and we could all come up with different examples around that. But they schedule by distance and expense predominantly. And so it does not necessarily optimize your player experience or your fan experience during the regular season. Once you've gotten those games under your belt, the tier system for the IWFL is basically split basically it's for the tournament, end of season tournament. And they don't really split the league necessarily in half specifically, but they kind of split it in two. And they do two tournaments. And so the two pools don't ever play each other. And the intent is that there's some, you know, postseason activity for some of the teams. And you kind of would be tended to be matched up at that point with like teams so that becomes a more meaningful experience for the players and the fans. Not the regular season as far as a matchup. So I think the intent is that they split in two, not necessarily in half, they split in two and try to provide a tournament for teams that are about the same caliber. And that's the intent there. They don't ever play each other, so it's really, I'm surprised they even call themselves championships. I know the WFA actually goes to the end of the season with one champion. The IWFL doesn't do that. And so it's kind of like flighting, maybe, in golf. You have flight one or flight two or something like that. But so they have basically two pool plays. And a lot of us have played other sports, basketball and softball, and you have pool A and pool B. But they actually never play each other. So you win your pool, and then you're done. The comical comments, obviously, on the board were about do you still call yourself the world champions, and they probably will, and we don't really think, most folks don't really think that anybody that wins a pool, they're not even winning their league, they just win the pool, are world champions or North American champions, but they certainly have accomplished something, and just call themselves something. Not sure what that is. So that's where there's some discussion around tier one and tier two, and it didn't seem to make sense how the schedule was laid out. But just remember, and it was said pretty well, that this, Tier 1 and Tier 2 don't really come into play during the regular season. That's really for the postseason for the teams that enter into that tournament. The quote, of course, you know, I globbed onto in that whole thing was Coach Mack, and he at one point says he's kind of sitting back and wondering how it will end up, and he says, I want to see how it will, what impact it will have on the players. And obviously, that's kind of been a hot button for me this year, and I've been there in this fall, and I've brought that up a lot on my show, is are we losing focus on the players? And obviously, he is well-rooted right onto the players, and with the comment at the end of his comments that said, you know, I'm going to have to wait to see how it impacts the players. And we should all be thinking that way. We should all be thinking about how it impacts the players and the schedules and you know, how meaningful they're going to be for your team and you know, how best to posture yourself for a good season. So the women have a fun time and a safe time and good experience for them. So that the comment with the schedule is that it did come out. There's a lot of buys, so there's a chance to sneak in some extra games if you'd like, and if they're willing. It would sure be nice if the leagues would maybe only schedule 5 or 6 games, maybe, and allow more teams to play out of league without overtaxing their players. An 8-game schedule seems to be kind of a standard, and if you've already scheduled 8 games, it kind of overextends sometimes a team perhaps to schedule extra games. But those are the games that likely will be the ones that are most meaningful. They're probably games that for teams that they kind of handpick based on you know, where they are in their development and maturity. And they handpick another team that they think will give them a good game. And those are likely going to be the better, you know, pretty good games and better games. And unfortunately, if you've already locked into a league with 8 games, you don't have a lot of flexibility. But there certainly are a lot of bye weeks, so if they're wanting to do some extra scheduling, they can certainly do that. So it's nice to have that out. Everybody's kind of solid on footing and going forward with the season. There's also exciting news out of the Pittsburgh area. There's a new team in Pittsburgh, Three Rivers Explosion. They are joining the growing number of teams that are skipping league fees this year and playing independent. They'll be playing in independent 2011. And I'll tell you what, those teams out east did a great job. There's several of them that pulled away from leagues this year and playing independent. And the other teams really cooperated well with them. And I think everybody ended up with a good schedule, a full schedule. And it was a neat thing that happened out east this year. And so I was very encouraged by that. We're going to be talking a lot more about that when we talk about the registry and how well that worked. I believe when I was talking to the one of the owners out there, or the coaches, the comment was made that they had about a 15-minute phone call that set of teams, and they came up with their schedule in about 15 minutes, and then they were done. So I thought that was definitely a testament to how well this can work and how efficient it is and how neat that is to be able to, you know, handpick your games and handpick the competition so you know that you're doing the best you can for the players, giving them a good experience. Anyway, so that's exciting news for Pittsburgh. I didn't get to see any updates. There didn't seem to be any updates lately from the chat board with that, but that was an interesting announcement. And so we extend good luck to the Three Rivers Explosion as they enter into their inaugural year in 2011. And the last thing on the board this week, actually there's two more things. One of the things on my agenda was that WSFL postseason restructuring was announced. They've lowered their league fees substantially, and they've restructured their postseason as of a day or so ago, they haven't given any more specifics around what that exactly means. The rumor on the Hill is that they halved their fees. Remember, the WSFL that went through this whole thing last fall, where there was some expectation by the teams because of earlier emails and commitments, especially during the recruitment process, as that league was trying to add teams, that the league fee would be around the $300 range. And that had been put in writing, although it was soft. We all, you know, they all knew that there could be some voting, that they were told they would vote on it, and, you know, based on, you know, different criteria or whatever, that it could go up or down or would be adjusted. But that was kind of the ballpark where I think a lot of folks thought they were going to land. And they ended up in that $1,400 range, and some churn around whether or not that was really all agreed upon by everyone and what was included, and could they vote on what to be included in that. So there's a lot of fallout there, and obviously there's a lot of teams that fell out of league and did not want to participate. And so the good news is, in a roundabout way, that league fee rumor has been halved, so now they're about at that $700 mark. So it's still about double what I think some of the leagues had planned for, or some of the teams had planned for, but still at least it's much closer to what that number was than the $1,400 number. And that did not include, that was another thing that came across my email. That does not include insurance, and they had to buy balls on top of that, and I think the balls were I think they ended up having to buy 8 balls each, something like that, for a couple $100 or something. I don't know. And it did not include insurance, and I think that was it. So, anyway, again, if you have any questions on that, nwernis@caseystonefootball.com. But anyway, the point was there was some controversy around all that, and it seems to be selling down. And they've moved off of that stance, and they are restructuring the postseason. Most of that extra money that was being collected was going toward the postseason, which is similar to all the other leagues too. And I think we did some calculations earlier this fall. I think one of my shows we talked about that, where it looks like for the most part the fees are about 70% of the fees that you pay actually go to activities post June 30th. And when I say post June 30th, basically I'm trying to say the postseason. And it doesn't really help necessarily directly help for sure most of the teams. There's a small number of teams that benefit from that, but yet that's the lion's share of where that money's going. And that was definitely the case for the WSFL. In fact, they were probably a little bit much higher percentage-wise than the other two leagues, as best we could kind of tell. And so they probably have adjusted. It sounds like they've done that. So kind of took a while, but they got there, and I think they're probably happier now. Some of the teams have stayed. So that's good there. So the rumor is, obviously, the fees have significantly decreased, and they will be playing their tournament in their final, their championship game, at a different facility than what was initially advertised. The Uni Dome, I believe, is what they were going to go to. So that part is rumor. There was nothing that was specific on the board, so watch that if you're interested. But that's kind of, if you happen to see that and you were kind of wondering what that really all meant. It's not official yet, but that was the word on the street. So those are kind of the big topics off of the board and what I think about them and what I know about them. So if you got any comments or you want to talk some more about those, again, I can't get to the chat board right now, but definitely email me at nwernis@caseystonefootball.com. And I can either have you on the show next time, or I'll bring in your comments and we'll try to flesh out some more on that topic. The last thing I wanted to say was there was a topic out there about the upcoming Girls and Women in Sports Day. I believe it's February 2nd this year, and there was some question about what the teams were doing. And I just want to tell you what the Storm does. We are very, very fortunate here in Kansas City to have a branch of our Kansas City Sports Commission. We have a sports commission here in the city called the Kansas City Sports Commission. The Storm is a member and has been a member for years now, ever since we have been in existence. And we are called upon to help them with some of their events, and we definitely volunteer and help out when we can. And it's a good match for us, and we have some great contacts there. And here in Kansas City, we're very, very fortunate because there's a branch of the Sports Commission called WIN, the Women's Intersport Network, WIN. And it's WIN for KC. It's kind of a neat initialism there, acronym, I guess it is. And they put on a tremendous event for the National Women in Sports Day. And they have basically a huge luncheon, and the Storm always volunteers, and we help get it all set up, and we are participants in the luncheon. And they bring in, they have a parade of athletes, and all of the state champion athletes, women athletes in high school, get to parade through the luncheon. And the luncheon is huge. It's in the biggest ballroom in Kansas City. It's at the Hyatt, if anybody is familiar with that facility. But I'll bet there's, I don't know how many thousands of people that attend this luncheon. It's huge. And the girl athletes from high school, anybody that won a state championship gets paraded through. And that's individually, like the golfers and the tennis players, and then also the team sports, basketball and volleyball, et cetera. And it's really interesting because Kansas City borders the Missouri and Kansas. And so you have high schools in both states. There's a fair amount of Missouri schools that end up with championships. And so they are typically well represented at this luncheon. A lot of the other place where a lot of the state champions come from is St. Louis. And it's on the other side of the city, or the other side of the state, and so not quite as many get over to the luncheon, obviously. But those are the two big metropolitan areas in the city, or in the state, and most of the state champions come from those two areas. On the Kansas side, there's not a lot in western Kansas. And I'm not picking on anybody. I mean, I know we got Wichita out there and kind of the southwest. And there's people out there, and there's a population out in western Kansas, but not a lot, and there's not a lot of big cities. So what ends up happening is that a lot of the state champions come from the Kansas City area or near there. And so they are well represented at this luncheon. There's a lot of Kansas state champions that get to go through that parade, and so it's so neat. So it takes quite a long time. But it's a great recognition for those girls, and they get to go to that luncheon for free, and then they get to stay and hear the program and the speaker. The program has to do with a series of awards, and they are given out for different things. Women are nominated, and then they are awarded the Spirit Award and Diversity Award, and you know, so different ones. I think it's about six of them. And then the luncheon ends up with a keynote speaker. Last year it was Billie Jean King, which was a tremendous event for anybody that was in the area that could get there. That event sold out very early, and that was neat to be able to see, you know, someone that had done so much for women's sports, and to hear her side of the Bobby Riggs match that she did, and some of what she was trying to do with the early women's tennis circuit, and really the trails that she blazed, and her current foundation, and the work that they do. It was tremendous. luncheon. And so that's what we do in Kansas City. I think this year there's going to be, I can't remember who the keynote is, but the Storm will be volunteering and we'll be help setting that up, and we'll have a table there and participate that way. So and we're usually in the program too as a sponsoring or a helping organization. So that's what we do. We don't really do our own events, but this is, like I said, from a national level, this is a tremendous event for Kansas City in both Missouri and Kansas, the states. People come from all over for this luncheon, and we just basically kind of piggyback on the work that the Sports Commission is doing in that area and lend our help, because they do need a lot of help. It's a great event. So I'd like to hear what your cities or do, or what your team does for National Women, Gear Girls and Women in Sports Day. And that's coming up here in just a couple of weeks. So those are some things that I wanted to cover tonight. And Werner's at CaseyStormFootball.com. If you have any more feedback there, I want to put in one more plug for the IWFFA flag football tournament down in Key West that's taking place here in the next couple of weeks. There's probably still time to get your team down there and registered. It's going to be a great event. This is the 20th year. Most of the tackle teams, I don't know of any tackle teams that have been around that long. So it definitely predates our sport. And they've been doing this tournament for 20 years. And they do a great job, and it's very competitive. And if you don't have a full team to go down and play, they allow you to register as a single woman, as a single player, and then they'll put you on a team. And there's international teams from Europe, and they will have one from South Africa, I believe, this year. So details there are IWFFA.com. Can give you some details there. So those are the items that I wanted to cover tonight. Again, I'd like to hear how you guys, your preparations are coming for the year. Now we've got our schedules. I know the Midwest is just getting slammed with bad weather. I'm looking out at the out into the gym now, and the players are doing their insanity tape right now because there's not a lot of room. But they're all out there, and they're doing it. And, gosh, that's great. We'll be so excited when the snow clears and we can be outside. But they're doing a great job. Oh, my gosh, if you guys haven't done the Insanity, it's kind of a offshoot of the P90X. Actually, it's kind of different. The P90X requires some equipment and so forth, but this one, you don't really have to do equipment, because we didn't really bring in any. But they're doing a great job out there. So I'm going to go rejoin them, and I want to apologize again for not getting a show out last week. So if you've been waiting for Bated Breath for this show, here it is. I think I got those topics covered. Again, if you've got any feedback or you want any comments, those topics where we talked about the IWFL schedule and the tiers and what they're trying to accomplish with those. We talked about the new team in Pittsburgh, Three Rivers Explosion, and the WSFL long-awaited announcement about the postseason restructuring and the changing of the league fees, which I think is a very good thing for those teams. So that's what I had, and I'll be signing off now. I don't have a clock in front of me here, so I hope Nancy's listening and has the music cued. Again, this is Nance Wernis with the Casey Storm in Kansas City, and if you have any comments, please email me at nwernis@caseystormfootball.com, and we will join you again next Wednesday in the same time slot for Black Talk Radio. Good night.